It's Friday, November 23rd, and you are listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, brought to you by GoDaddy.com. I'm your guest master of ceremonies, Jeffrey Powers, from Geekazine.com, filling in for the ever-mobile Todd Cochran. I've scoured the internet with the biggest Brillo pad I can find and came up with the greatest stuff for you on this, your Black... What, we can't call it Black Friday anymore? Was it Green Friday? Okay. Green Friday, and I'm sending it to you early so you have something to listen to while you're standing in line at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for some great holiday deals. Just think of me standing right next to you. And the best part is, I'll be here helping you to decide what to get for that geek, or geeks, in your life. Did that sound too much like an announcer voice? Because I got a really good one. It's like,
We have an awesome show for you, so strap in, because here we go!
Just kidding. Here we go.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, how are y'all doing? My name is Jeffrey Powers. I'm a podcaster from the website geekazine.com. That's geekazine magazine. Just spell magazine, take out the M-A-G, put in geek, geekazine.com. I am doing this guest host for Todd Cochran. Thank you very much, Todd, for letting me get on the microphone and help you with your show while you're doing a move. Of course, as you all know, Todd Cochran is moving from beautiful Ford Island to, and I hope I pronounced this right, Makakilo, Hawaii, which Makakilo means observing eye. So it's perfect for Todd because he'll be observing the tech world from his perch up in Makakilo, Hawaii. And of course, that should be fun. So today you are in beautiful Fitchburg, Wisconsin. A lot farther away from Makakilo, Hawaii, I'll tell you that right now. And a lot colder. Yeah, we got snow yesterday. Not as much, you know, just enough to make the ground white. And it's kind of cold out there. We're not going to get below zero, but we've got some good temperatures. We got a good winter started. So Fitchburg, Wisconsin is just south of Madison, Wisconsin, which is the... Anyone? Bueller? Oh, it's the capital of Wisconsin. And no, it's not made of cheese. Well, maybe it is. I did take a big bite out of it once. My teeth are here. Okay, so maybe it is made of cheese. capital of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin. We're just south of it in a suburb called Fitchburg. Great place to live. I enjoy it. Got a great... the place I'm at, you look out the back window, I got an awesome view. And I can see trees, I can see field. Every now and then I see wild animals. I've seen a deer come through the backyard. So it's a great place to live. I enjoy it. It's just fun. And if you ever come to Madison, you're more than welcome to look me up and say hi. Or if you're in the Madison area, come say hi anyway. So, of course, like I said, I am in for the vacationing. I call it vacationing. It's moving. Moving's not easy. Todd Cochran. And of course, if you've been on your Twitter and you've gone up on Geek News Central Twitter, you've been finding that Todd's been still posting. So he's got that hookup going. And I think I know when I moved, it was very important to make sure I always had an internet connection somewhere. So. And I actually went one day without internet connection, and I was freaking out. I almost went to the library. It was that bad. So but we have a great show for you. I have tons of stuff here. We've got information about doorbuster days or Black Friday or Green Friday or whatever you want to call it. We're going to have a whole section about top 10 geek gifts, which is just amazing. what I found. And we got tons of news. Now, you're wondering, there was a Tuesday podcast, some technical difficulties. I'm not sure the whole details, but I'll let Todd explain it next Tuesday when he takes the reins. I think he's taking the reins back on Tuesday. Or maybe there's another guest podcaster. I'm not sure. So, keep up on the site because there's going to be somebody here. And there's going to be talk, and we're going to talk about a lot of tech. We're going to talk about a lot of tech today. So we're going to get some stuff out of the way, and then we're going to get going here. Hey, do you know you can get a reliable, secure web hosting without long-term contracts? GoDaddy's hosting plans, they're bigger and better than ever. 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, no annual commitment. Best of all, plans start at $3.99 a month. And if you enter code Todd when you check out, you save an additional 10% on your order. So get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see the site for details. All right. We all know it's Black Friday, Green Friday, Doorbuster Days, whatever you want to call it. We all know that we have to get gifts. We all know we have to get gifts for geeks. There's a lot of great websites out there that are talking about great gifts you can get for the geek in your family. And we're going to go through some of them really quick. First of all, we're going to start with Wired Magazine. The Wired Magazine put out their top 10 list. And their number one geek gift, I think, is the most appropriate. It's one of two things, and I think it's a very appropriate thing. It's the Slinky. Now, see, I would have either said Slinky or Rubik's Cube. And if you're a geek, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you can't solve a Rubik's Cube, then it's pretty much the Slinky. So, and you can get Slinky, you know, you get the plastic Slinkies. I know you go to the trade conventions and you can get tons of plastic Slinkies. But you want a good metal Slinky because you never know when a good metal Slinky is going to come into play here. So... Wired's also got the Nokia N810, a great idea for a gift for a geek. The Omega Seamaster Planet Ocean, which is a watch. The Canon PowerShot, Lego's Imperial Walker, the Leatherman Skeletool. It's like Skeletor. In Masters of the Universe, I have the power. Anyway, Leatherman Skeletool. I'll get you. Anyway, and of course, the Rock Band, which is the newest of the PS3 Xbox games. So if you go over on CNET.com, the top holiday tech gifts, number one for them, Xbox 360. I think that's going to be throughout on a lot of these here, either one or two. Number two is iPod. They're talking about Sony PSP, TiVo Series 2, Canon PowerShot, Logitech Harmony 880, which is a remote control for the geek. A Sling Media Sling Box, which is... It's basically a stream live TV and video record on DVR in the living room and push to your laptop. Trio, and then a couple laptops here. So that's over on CNET. If you go over to ZDNet, you're going to see some cool holiday tech gifts. Of course, iPod is going to be first, Xbox 360, HD TVs, handheld devices. I think they even have a printer here. Let me see here. Looks like a printer. Yeah, okay. And, hello. Okay, here we go. If you go over to linuxdevices.com, which is, of course, all these are on the show notes, you're going to see some really cool Linux gifts. The PMP, which does Wi-Fi, downloads music, and runs Linux. The IMPad. The Linux-based programmable clock device, the Motorola has Linux in the background. iPhone like Linux phone, ready for hackers. If you want to hack, go for it. So there's a ton of stuff here. Of course, the OLPC, or one laptop per child, is I guess, Linux-based. So just tons of stuff over there. And let's see where else we got. We got... Hello, American Scientific. Things are slowing down for some reason. They've got some stuff here. We've also got BB Spot. This was more of a joke of the top 11 computer gifts. I like number 11. 1 year of no computer questions from everyone in your family. How many people have been asked computer questions from somebody in their family? I know I have. So I'm kind of lucky because my brother's father-in-law also does computers, so some of that stuff gets directed towards him. it's nice. So number four was another one that caught my eye: Star Wars Holiday Special, where Jar Jar gets trampled to death by Santa's eight tiny Wookiees. And of course, a guided tour of Area 51. I've always wanted to go to Area 51, haven't you? So, and number one, I'll save number one. You'll have to go to BB Spot to check that out. Great site there. If you've never been to BB Spot. Hey, they also have, top10sources.com. They have tech for geek girls. And of course, there's always that geek girl in your family that you want to give her something. So they've got some stuff up here, including tech Christmas trees for the creative geek. James Bond gadget, automatic martini maker. I would like one of those. Get me one, shaken, not stirred. Hello. Flashing hair braid. Well, if you know me, I don't have any hair on my head. So, flashing hair braid probably wouldn't work for me. where real women tell their story. Oh, I'm sorry, I should be doing this in this voice. Divine Caroline, where real women tell their stories. I guess it's looks like a website to go to. Hypnotic jellyfish. Ooh, so some geek stuff for the girls there. And of course, Windows for devices. This was an interesting one, which had more device stuff on here. Home theater remote, motorcycle GPS. If you've got a motorcycle, for the motorcycle geeks in us, the car PC to car PC. Which is a XP-compatible car PC that accommodates a slim, a tappy device and boasts futuristic faceplates. So I'm not sure. This is something you put into the car, I believe. It's $400 price tag. So the HTC Touch Dual, which is HTC is a great phone. I have an HTC myself. The RoboDog, which is a RoboSoft four-legged robot. fountain automatic bartender, if you are a consumer of beverage. Lots of stuff here. And of course, they're also talking about the EPC mini laptop for the one PC per household thing. So lots of great top tech gifts here. And you know, there's, you know, you have Blu-ray, you have HD DVD, you have all the game systems, Xbox 360, you have PSP, you have PS3, you have Wii, you have everything else. You got high-end definition TV. You got the, what else you got out there? I'm just going off the cuff here. It's just a bunch of geek stuff, you know, and some of it's not even geek. Like, for instance, and I mentioned this on my podcast, when you have, like, let's say you have somebody in your family that has a laptop, let's say an HP laptop. Well, a lot of HP, a lot of Dell laptops now come with docking stations, and maybe they didn't buy the docking station simply because of the fact that was an extra couple hundred dollars. And then, you know, they just felt it wasn't worth it. Well, they always go home, they plug it into their external monitor, their external keyboard, their external mouse, and that's just a lot of plugs. So you could get them a docking station. But of course, the one thing you want to do is you want to talk to the geek in your family and get them so that you know what you have to get them. That's a very important part. So you don't want to get them something that they're not going to use. So Anyway, that's that, you know, yeah, tons of geek stuff. And of course, you're standing probably, well, if you are standing out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, waiting for those cool deals, you know, the $10 four gig flash drives or the 500 gig SATA drives or the 120 gig, 160 gig external drives for like fractions of prices. You know, those are great gifts too. There's always a great gift for a geek. And of course, geeks go beyond computers. You know, there's all different types of geeks. So I'm a music geek. I'm also a computer geek. So anyway, moving on. That's basically that part of it. I hope you like the sleigh bells in the background. I tried to keep them low. If you decide, hey, I want to stay in, I don't want to go out there during the shopping on Friday, we've got a great gift for you that's coming out on Monday. And that is the AMD Spider, which is the AMD's first platform product, which uses the quad-core Phenom chip. And if you go over to CNET News, it just show you some, they talk about it a little bit. It's got AMD's Barcelona, the two Phenom processors, excuse me, are AMD's Barcelona quad core processors and designed for the upper half of the desktop market. They got a cool picture here, four video cards, dual video cards. So you could have eight monitors. Could you imagine that? Eight monitors? That would be awesome for gaming. So, Pretty cool. Also, if you're into looking for a home server, now that Microsoft Home Server is now out, Hush Technologies, which is not well known, in fact, I didn't know about it until they started talking about it. It's a German firm. They're coming out with the HS1 home server, and it's now available. So you can check that out. That's over on Engadget.com, and lots of great tech stuff there. You know, folks, these days, whether you're in business or simply just want to share something with friends or family, email and voice, and even IM, sometimes aren't enough. I know that I just got a picture message on my phone, and my phone doesn't really handle picture messages too well. Hey, that's why you should try GoToMeeting. It's a web conferencing solution that'll revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, your friends, your family, anybody in the world today. It's a very versatile tool. It has the ability to host online meetings, which is an absolute must for today's business. And with GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. It's unlimited meetings for one flat rate, which means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. So if you got friends, if you got gamer friends, if you got business associates, if you're trying to develop a website, if you're trying to get your rock band together and somebody's in Prague and you're in Wisconsin, another person's in Hawaii and another person's in Texas, hey, it's perfect. So give it a try yourself. Free for 30 days. GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, moving on. Are you a Linux fan? Well, you should know that the KDE 4.0 desktop has made its debut. It's over on Linux Insider. So if you are not into Linux, check it out. You know, I know a lot of us get stuck in this Windows world, and I know I've been in this Windows world for 12 years. I started as a support engineer for a contract company doing Microsoft Windows 95. So it's so easy to get stuck in the Windows environment and not see any of the other environments anymore. Especially, every now and then you get a new environment where you'd see Novell, but not Linux. Some Unix, but not Linux. Especially if you on desktop levels. So about a year and a half ago, I started to make sure that I went over to the Linux side and just started playing around with those things. So I have a Ubuntu server and I have an Ubuntu desktop set up on virtual PCs. And so I run through that. So, but anyway, if you're a Linux fan, KDE or K desktop environment, K stands for K, nothing else. Some people think, oh, it stands for cool. No, it's just K. So it's made its debut, and I went through four beta phases to do that. So It's ready for day-to-day use, and so check it out. It's over on Linux Insider. And, of course, that's in the show notes. So, hey, have you checked out Amazon's Kindle? Now, what this is an ebook reader, and it's an advance towards the ebook reading. Now, I know how many of you download or print out your emails? I don't understand that myself, but I know there's people that don't read the email off the screen. They want to read it on paper, so they print it out. I know if I got like a big manual or something like that to read through, I will actually print it out. I'll print it out two per page, double-sided, so there's four pages on one piece of paper, save paper, but I'll still print it out. So Amazon's Kindle is supposed to be that resolution, so you won't have to do that. You can go through it, and of course with the screen easier to read and all that other stuff. Well, it became a popular. If you actually saw it, you think, oh god, this came from like the 1980s, didn't it? It looks like Apple Newton, except a bigger size. So, but apparently it's doing well because it sells out and sold out in record time. So, Amazon's Kindle. If you don't know anything about it, check it out. Check out this article over on Silicon Republic. Now, are you a PlayStation buff? Sony finally made the PlayStation Store available without the need for a PlayStation 3. If you're a PSP owner, you want to download content, couldn't do it. And it's free. So, go over to the PlayStation Store. This is over on Geek.com. This is this article. They're also talking about the PS3 firmware 2.01. So check that out too. You want to get the latest firmware on that. Verizon, is it FIOS? FIOS. That's it. Yeah, fiber optics system, basically, internet service, fiber optic. Verizon is now boasting that their service was getting 20 megabits per second uploads. Now they can get speeds of up to 50 megabits per second. And it's crazy. It's going to cost you $140, I believe. Yeah, $140 for the slower connection is only $70. But you think about that. You know, I'm running on a cable connection right now. That's 5 megabits. So if I went up to 20 from 5, that's a major jump. If I go up to 50 from 5, that's crazy. So, and of course, you're going to pay for that. So I don't think I'm not going to go that far just yet because I don't need that upload speed. The worst part is uploading these podcasts because they get around 30 megs. And so, uploading it takes a little bit longer, but you know, hey, so what? I'll go get a cup of coffee or something like that. I got to make dinner, you know, every now and then. So, it's pretty cool, that we're actually getting to that next level. And of course, this being fiber optic, it only makes sense. So, check this out over on afterdawn.com. All right. OLPC, one laptop per child, give one, get one program, extended. It's averaging 2 million sales per day. That's a great thing. So I know that Todd's been doing a promotion here. I haven't talked to Todd about this, but he'll probably fill you in when he gets back. He said that basically, I believe it was this week that he decided to wrap up the sales, but they're extending it to December 31st of 2007. So this might play into our little thing. We'll see what happens. Todd will let you know. But this is great. These laptops, I haven't had a chance to check them out. I know I had an opportunity to, and I kind of missed it. What can you say about these machines? They're going to be taken out to third world countries. And of course, you're going to get a laptop back so you can then turn around and donate it to your schools and giving the gift of geek to everybody, I think is the most important part of these holiday seasons is to give the gift to geek. Wouldn't you agree? So I'm assuming that we're going to probably extend this. But once again, that's Todd's call. So we'll leave it at that. So you got now till December 31st to do your one laptop per child, give one, get one program. So cool, cool, cool. I know I donated. Maybe I'll donate some more. We'll see what happens. So, hey, if you go over to Science Daily, they're talking. This is actually pretty cool. You know how they'd always talked about little nanobots running through your body and stuff like that? Well, they've got what are called nanoparticles, and they deliver drugs directly into tumors. And basically they're saying MIT scientists have devised remote-controlled nanoparticles that, when pulsed with an electromagnetic field, they release drugs to attack tumors. What can you say? We've got to deal with cancer. We've got to deal with tumors. And if this is the way to do it, that's great. Great idea. Great idea. I say great idea. I meant great idea. So, where was it? Check this out. I could go through it, blah, 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 but read through it if this is what's catching your fancy, and go from there. Now, I reported this on my tech podcast. That was the one thing I wanted to make sure is when I did my show and I did this show, that I didn't have a lot of overlapping stuff, but there was still some stuff that needed to be talked about. This is one of them, and that's a 500,000 database. This is over on Network World. 500,000 database servers have no firewall. Well, what's a database, you might ask? Well, technically, this show is on a database. A blog is in a database. You know, my blog is in a database. You know, Network World is in a database. Most of your websites are database driven. You've got AS400. AS400 is one big database. And I know that there's some companies that don't have those databases behind firewalls. And this is something to think about. Now granted, there's a lot of if you run a business that has a database and you take credit card sales, you've got to follow these guidelines. And so credit card numbers can't be in a database unless there's some sort of high encryption. I'm not up to speed on all the ideals of this, but there are people out there that are watching this and saying, hey, if you take a credit card number, and then that's basically the credit card companies themselves, and they're saying, hey, if you take a credit card number, you make sure that people aren't writing it down, people aren't putting it in the notes or anything like that, because if these databases get hacked, then people's credit cards are out there, and we can't watch for that because it's sitting in notes as opposed to sitting in what we require of you, the high encryption. So people can see the encrypted version, but they won't be able to get to the password. So, but you know, this is really sad that people do not put their databases behind firewalls. I know for a while, one of the jobs I was just at, we had an AS400 that wasn't behind a firewall. In fact, you could telnet into that server without even having to do a VPN, without even having to go to a website, without having to do nothing but open up a command line and say telnet and then put the IP address in. That's kind of scary. So they found that 157 SQL servers and 53 Oracle servers have ports. Basically, the ports were open. So, and they say there's approximately 368,000 Microsoft SQL servers and 124,000 Oracle database servers directly accessible on the internet. Crazy, huh? Yeah. Now, you know, of course, you got to go actively looking for these databases. And then once you actively find a database, you have to kind of decode it. I mean, a database is many tables, many fields of many tables in the database. Not difficult to do, but you got to take some time to do it. You really got to push it. So check this out. Ask your company. Ask your IT guy. Hey, are all our databases behind a firewall? Do we have a DMZ? Do we have the what is our security at? So check that out over on Network World. Very good read. And of course, if you're an IT person, ask yourself that same question. Is all our stuff behind the proper back end? Or I'm sorry, front end? Interesting. So anyway, moving on. Firefox 3.0 coming out. In fact, I think it was launched today, this being Thanksgiving. You're still hearing this on Friday, so it would be yesterday. I had to think about that for a second. So Firefox coming out 3.0 came out. They are leaving 80% of the bugs in the 3.0 final release. Mozilla announced earlier this week, and this is over on App Scout, that the website that is planning to fix only 20% of Firefox 3's known bugs before the latest version of the browser is released in final version. They say about 700 bugs that are currently checked. Now, if you think about this, it's really not that bad. 700 bugs. Because you kind of have to break that down. 700 bugs. Where do those 700 bugs lie? Are those 700 bugs lie in the Windows version of Firefox 3.0? Are they in the Mac version of 3.0? Where do they really lie? Do you have to do something really outrageous to see one of these bugs? So they're going to take care of them. It's just that, you know, you gotta say, hey, let's move on. Let's get the stuff out. Then let's get the little stuff worked on. You know, because sometimes you just have to do that in the software world, and that's why Leopard came out, and then a patch came out a week later. That's why Vista came out, and it's still broken. I'm just kidding, all you Vista fans out there. But you know, Service Pack 1 is coming out for Vista, so there had to have been bugs that they knew about. And just had to make the decision. Is this something we need to fix before it comes out, or can we fix it as it goes along? Or if we fix it, will it break something else? So it's nothing to really worry about, I think. But just be aware of this. And of course, this is all in I believe it's still in, isn't it in beta at this time? That's basically what came out, was the beta version. So, you know, take some time. Of course, if you're in big business, if you're seeing Firefox and you're seeing this, you know, you're not going to jump on Firefox 3.0 right away unless you absolutely need to. You are just going to stick with your old version, your tried and true version, and then you're going to test Firefox 3 on the side. And then once you've deemed that it becomes something that's usable, then you work on a deployment plan. That's how it works. That's how it always works. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. It's going to get fixed. So over on Wired, hey, you can actually tell Google Maps where to find things. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. I'm actually pretty impressed with how Google's been doing the maps. And I know that there's some of you that are not impressed. And that's too bad. But I am impressed. There are roads that show up on the maps in my area before I even know about the roads. So, you know, it gets pretty accurate, but Google understands that it's not going to be completely accurate. So they're asking people to nudge things, adjust things. Say, if you put in your address and it points it out like 2 inches away from where it's supposed to be, it's saying that you have the ability to move that arrow to the correct spot. And I think this is a great thing, because now, you know, they don't need to rely on one or two people to get this all taken care of. Everybody can take care of it. Now, granted, there's always going to be that error factor. There's always going to be that one person that decides to move the arrow around a little bit. But they've been finding with, like, the wiki, that, yeah, sometimes bad information gets through, but it gets corrected really quick. There's a lot of people out there that try and divert the information, but there's a lot more people trying to keep the information the way it is. So, good idea for Google. Get people involved in where they live and get the maps going and into a good point. And of course, they're probably not going to let you adjust everything. Just the stuff that kind of matters to you. I mean, not too many people are going to look up my address and then change the arrow around. I know I'm not going to go looking up your address and change the arrow around. So why not? And make it a little bit better. And maybe it'll make the turn-by-turn directions even better to use, too. So we'll have to see. T-Mobile says it's going to sell its iPhone without contract. And this is, of course, you have to be in Frankfurt for this one. But T-Mobile will allow customers in Germany to buy Apple's iPhone without having to sign a T-Mobile contract after rival Vodafone obtained a court injunction against it. Now, if you read this, Vodafone was put a restraining order on iPhone sales. And which doesn't make sense to me, but whatever. So T-Mobile said on Wednesday it'll offer the iPhone without a T-Mobile contract for €999, $1,478 at its shops. So if you want an unlocked iPhone, it's going to cost you $1,478. So it's also going to allow the customers who bought an iPhone since November 19th to unlock the device free of charge so it can be used with other SIM cards. So, great idea. I don't even understand the whole locking of a cell phone. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. Why would you do that? The phone is the phone. It should be your phone. You shouldn't have to go over to another contract and then have to deal with getting a whole other phone. I mean, my phone has a whole ton of stuff in it, and granted, I can download that easily, but why should I get another phone if I switch from AT&T to Verizon or to Sprint? So it should just be a reprogram or a fix or a firmware update or something. And there is a way, I suppose, a little bit I can understand this. Like for instance, you know, you switch to Verizon, they update your phone goes kaplunk. And then all of a sudden you're complaining to Verizon, hey, what'd you do in my phone? What did you just break in my phone? I want you to give me a brand new phone for that. And of course they don't want to deal with that. So that's understandable. But, come on. In this day and age, you should be able to take a SIM, plop it into a phone and go. It just only makes sense. I mean, there's not much else you really have to do. That's what that SIM card's there for. So, good idea for T-Mobile. Keep it up. Hopefully that'll move to the United States. Now, on the bad side, T-Mobile is replaced. Well, it's actually also a good thing. T-Mobile, this is over on Engadget.com. T-Mobile is replacing faulty Sidekick Slide with Sidekick LX. So, it's basically the little LCD thing slides up so you can get to the keyboard. Basically, it was a malfunctioning item. So they decided to say, okay, here's a Sidekick LX, free of charge. Use that. We'll switch you over. No problem. So it's over on Engadget. Check it out. A lot of good stuff on Engadget. I go up there almost every single day. So check that website out. Now, how interesting is this? Facebook. Have you been on Facebook? I'm on Facebook. I know Todd's on Facebook. But Facebook, and I saw this too. This is over on techblorge.com. Facebook drops the word is from the status message. And instantly, tech blogs just completely go nuts. They say, oh, what happened to is? What's wrong with is? To understand what it is, basically there is a thing that says so-and-so is doing this. You know, the is gone. And it wasn't a program move. They decided they put it back. There must have been a glitch or something like that. So the whole point, and this is actually a funny article I read through this, and it's like, okay, brought back the word is, this wasn't really a story anyway, but, you know, the internet made it a story. Well, the internet made Facebook, so making it a story, understandable. So a lot of people just went completely bonkers on this. Good read. Check this out. That's why I have it here. So, okay. Over on Network World, do you have a Gmail account? I have a Gmail account. Geek News Central, I know, has a Gmail account. Of course, geeknews@gmail.com to go to send email to. And basically, there's been some problems with Gmail. I know there was an early article about Gmail, people losing Gmail, but there's possibility that they got phished in and somebody came in and just deleted their email. That's why passwords are so important, to have high encryption to them. And it's really not that difficult to put together a password. I mean, just get rid of the one-word passwords. You know, if your dog's name is Spot, don't put Spot or Spot 1 or Spot with a capital S. Do something a little bit different. I always tell people, make a little line out of it. Like, see Spot Run. Perfect example. Are you going to forget see Spot Run? No, it's got three words in it, see, spot, and run. And you're going to capitalize one of the letters, you put a number at the end, so it's see, spot, 1-1. And you've got a high encryption password right there. So, but of course, that's half the point. What the phishers are doing, and you've probably seen this out there, is that they are taking, like for instance, MySpace, they're taking links, they're putting links in treats. I like to say, like the Macy's card and stuff like that. And then you think you're signing into MySpace again, when in all reality, you're signing into their site and they're getting your password. Then they log into your stuff and with your password, and they take what they need. So they're saying that some people were getting phished, and which those people would then go in and take the email. Well, there were some other problems with Gmail. And that was, and I saw these problems too. I'd sign into the Gmail, all of a sudden my screen or my browser screen would be all wacky colors and stuff like that. So they're doing some more work on it. It's gotten better since this article came out, but it's very important to understand. Hey, you know, there's some problems with Gmail right now, and of course, if you've got important email, don't use a Gmail account. Don't use a Hotmail account. Don't use a Yahoo account. Use your own account. Know your email provider. Know what their strengths and weaknesses are. Know how they handle your stuff. So if you do get phished, your stuff isn't totally destroyed. It can be recreated. It can be, you still have email. So I use, and I know Todd uses, and I use a Gmail account for front end for, you know, if you want to contact me through the show. And that makes perfect sense, because the stuff, you know, if it was gone tomorrow, yeah, I'd really want to hear from you. But if it's gone tomorrow, it's not going to be the end of the world. You know, things will still move on. However, if you wanted to contact Todd or myself, there'd be another email address that you would do. And that email address is not a Gmail account, is not a Yahoo account, is not a Hotmail account. It's on our servers where we can do the controlling. We can back it up. We know how to back it up. We know how to restore it. It's there. If somebody gets in, starts hacking at stuff, we can restore it without a problem. So that's word to the wise. Don't use Hotmail account for business. Don't use Gmail for business. If you need some, there are some good companies out there. If you don't want to buy an Exchange server, understandable. There are some free stuff out there you can get to put that together. But let's say you don't even want to have a server in your office. There are companies out there that protect your email, and you can check those out too. So, okay, off that soapbox. This is a cool gadget. It's not as powerful as I'd like it to be, but if you go over to Engadget.com, you are going to see the Oculon Hikari Pro 920. I hope I pronounced that right. It's the world's smallest projector. and it looks like an old-fashioned camera. And it is, it apparently it did, if I remember correctly, yeah, 20-inch display, 800 by 600 pixels from, what was it, just 2 feet away. So if you are on the road, if you need to present really quick, or if you're just a gamer, this is a perfect little gadget to get and perfect for the holidays. And the price, what was the price? It was $399 for the 1440 LCOS model. $299 for the Pro 920, which measures just 86 by 44 by 85 millimeters. That's actually not too bad. Not going to be powerful. So don't expect to let it run your home theater or anything like that. It's going to be for presentation. But it's a great advantage and a great step forward to doing the higher presentation on this. To have these smaller devices in for your laptop, for your gaming system. You know, maybe someday they'll even have a box which will have the projector built right in. You know, a laptop with the projector built right in. Wouldn't that be cool? So you can set up the laptop, you can do all your gaming, and stuff like that. So good step, right direction. Not going to be powerful as you really want it to be for what you if you're a gamer or something like that. But if you're a presenter, this is perfect. And of course, you get one of those little clicker things that are for like PowerPoint and stuff like that. They're not mice, but they're just presenter controllers, remotes. Yeah, presenter remotes. That would be a perfect thing. Laptop with that projector with that remote, you'd have the perfect mobile presentation unit. Good idea. Very good. Hey, we're on the final leg of the show. I'm having a great time doing this podcast on your Black Friday. I hope you're having a great time listening to it. Still got a ton of information we need to go through. And my turkey dinner is getting cold. So I'm doing this before I'm eating my turkey dinner. So I like it. So this is great. I really thank Todd for this opportunity. And of course, if you're listening for the first time to the Geek News Central podcast, I have to apologize. Todd will be back. You listen. I've listened to Todd's show for a good while now. I've listened to a lot of podcast shows. I think I started listening to podcast shows 2 years ago. A lot of good podcast stuff out there. Not just tech stuff, you know. I have a friend that does another podcast show that's completely different. I won't talk too much about it because, you know, we'll just leave it at that. But the whole point is that I've been listening to podcasts. I've been doing podcasts for about 2 years now. As a musician, did a lot of music podcasts. So this is a great opportunity to be able to have somebody just let me say, "Hey, here you go. Get these people informed, and I trust you on that." So I appreciate. Thank you, Todd. Thank you very much for letting me get this opportunity to talk to all your listeners about this. And yeah, I suppose plug my show, geekazine.com, a little bit more. So I apologize. I did not get the information on how to get the voicemails or emails. I tried to put up an alternate email, geekazine@gmail.com, or my phone number, 608-807-4379. That's 807-4379. I'll say it a little bit slower. I'm sorry. But I tried to get that out as early as possible so you knew how to get a hold of me. But, you know, it's understandable that we didn't get anybody any comments or emails on this. So if you got any comments or emails on this show, send them to Todd. And, of course, the contact voicemail is 619-324. I think it was 324. Hold on. Let me check here. Okay. Geek News. Where is it? Hold on a second here. There it is. Okay. Comments 619-342-7365 or email to geeknews@gmail.com. And then you can talk to Todd about that. And of course, he's probably got a ton of stuff, a ton of voicemail, a ton of email that he's going to have to deal with. So he's probably going to have to dedicate a whole show to all the voicemail and all the email that he's gotten since the move from historic Ford Island to Makakilo. So once again, Makakilo, observing eye. He's watching you. So anyway, let's get back. I'll stop the babbling now. Let's get back to the news. This is actually pretty cool. It's over on Yahoo. When the sun collapses, it becomes a white dwarf. That's basically the term. Well, they're observing these white dwarfs that are in our Milky Way. And they're basically categorizing this to a new type of star. It's actually pretty cool. You read through this article, and they say that they've spotted at least a couple of white dwarfs that might fit into the new category. Now, basically, where is it? It says University of Arizona astrophysicist Patrick Dufour said previously known white dwarfs have fallen into two categories, those with a hydrogen-rich atmosphere and those with a helium-rich atmosphere. But Dufour and three other scientists writing in the journal Nature described eight white dwarfs that break the mold by possessing carbon atmospheres. And they found a few of them in our Milky Way. So, and they're just, they're eating up this information because this is new stuff, new type of white dwarf, which could tell us a lot more about how our galaxy works, how things go, evolution for that matter. So, and of course, one of these days, the sun will collapse and become a white dwarf. It's destined. It's the final days of the sun. Hopefully it won't happen too soon. Hopefully the Gregorian calendar will stop and the world will go on. but anyway, it's pretty good read. Check it out. Now, if you put on Leopard onto your computer and you've probably played around with it, here's a great website you can go to using Mac.com. They've got some great tweaks for your Leopard. Check it out. There's a whole bunch of stuff here. We won't get into it, and I think I'm getting high end on the time here. So just check it out. Some great stuff. I haven't had a chance to do it on my machine yet, so it should be fun to do. I will be doing some tweaks. So let's move on. Eweek.com. California sues e-voting vendor. Now, there is a company that made these e-voting machines. They have to follow these protocols that are coming out. And basically, they found out that this company actually sold e-voting machines, not certified by the state. So the e-voting vendor Electron Systems and software is facing a $15 million lawsuit for allegedly selling uncertified voting machines in five California counties. That's the word, counties. I can read. Yeah. So anyway, California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen filed the action after a four-month investigation. According to the lawsuit, ES&S sold 972 auto-marked machines without authorized hardware changes to San Francisco, Calusa, Marin, Solano, and Merced counties. California law requires all e-voting vendors to obtain state certification for all hardware sold to California counties. Good for them. You know, we don't need another voting scandal. We don't need Chads. We don't need. Have you seen Man of the Year? If you haven't seen Man of the Year, Robin Williams, very good. There were two parts of it. One was if a comedian decided to mock the presidential election by actually becoming a running candidate, would he win? And then, of course, the second part went on the fact that this software company was actually making, changing voting to an electronic system, but there was a big software glitch, and the company would not recall the machines to fix it. They decided to let it go, and hopefully it would not cause any problems. Well, they found out, the main software programmer found out the glitch and realized that would give Robin Williams' character the advantage and therefore win the election, when in all reality he didn't win. So, good movie, check it out. And this is very important. If we go to an all electronic voting system, we want it to be as foolproof as possible. Say 100% would be nice. Reality, nah, it's not going to happen. But as close as possible. As close as possible. So good for you, California. Keep it up. I hope, you know, did a lot of great strides in California, especially with their green environment. So anyway, moving on. Speaking of suing, Free Software Group files copyright lawsuits. Now, the Software Freedom Law Center, basically that's what the open source licensing policies are, their general public license, the GNU GPL. They found that some of their patents that were being some of their copyrights were being... Sorry, let me start over here. I'll just read through here. The SFLC... Anyway, the SFLC filed lawsuits on Monday on behalf of developers BusyBox against high-gain antennas of Parker, Colorado, and Exteresys of City of Industry, California. Lawsuits filed in U.S. District Courts in the Southern District of New York allege that these companies are distributing BusyBox illegally without meeting the GPL requirements of providing access to the source code of their implementation. Now, BusyBox is a lightweight set of standard Unix utilities commonly used in embedded systems. Licensed are GPL version 2. So... apparently they've locked down the source code, and so now Free Software Group is filing copyright lawsuits on this, and very good for them. Free software, open software should be open software. Nobody should have rights to open software for the most part. So you can check this out. It's all about lawsuits. Gotta love lawsuits. All right, I'm starting to get a little dazed. I think I really need that turkey now. So anyway, over at CNET News, very cool article about Gotham's Christmas tree, and basically New York's iconic Christmas tree this year will use energy efficient lighting powered by solar panels, part of a refurbishing at Rockefeller Center to conserve energy. So basically Rockefeller Center, the Norway spruce there. It's going to be lit on November 28th. That's next Wednesday. It'll use 30,000 light-emitting diodes, or LEDs, strung on 5 miles of wire. Energy-efficient bulbs will save as much electricity per day as a single family in a 2,000-square-foot home uses in a month. So that is pretty cool. Now, there is a lot of energy-efficient bulbs out there, and you should check your lighting and see if you need to change out your lighting. Don't use those old bulbs that your parents used back in the 70s. You know, use the better energy efficient bulbs. Go green too. We all got to go green. So, and of course, I don't know if you've seen this, but they have this new, I don't know if it's a new device or I just saw it this year. Basically it's a little gun that lets you that changes the light bulbs in the string of lights for you, which is pretty cool. So I don't know where that fit in. And it's like, hey, you know that time that one show with that one thing? Yeah, that was great. So anyway, good for New York, going green there. We all got to go green. We all got to worry about the future. So good read. Check it out. So got a whole bunch more here that caught my eye. I'm not going to get into it too much because we're getting close to this this ending mark here. But some of the things that I found, this lady, it was a ladybug. It's a thing, the device that actually cleans up and gives road directions and weather conditions and stuff like that. Pretty cool. The titanium toothbrush, it even dispenses toothpaste. So titanium goes with the teeth. So whole internet on one page. This is really, really cool. It's you go to the page and you see this block, and it looks like a distorted picture, and it's supposed to be the internet. Now it's not going to show this website or my website or your website. It shows main IP addresses. So like for instance, I run with a provider. That provider runs with another provider, and another provider has an IP address. That IP address will probably show up in this list or on the whole internet. They're going to start drilling it down. So maybe someday you'll see the billions upon billions of internet pages out there, like geeknewscentral.com and geekazine.com and cnet.com and yahoo.com. But for now, it's just the basic outline of the internet. That's pretty good. Pretty cool to see. Gold mail, which is a new type of email. Pretty cool. It's like a slideshow thing. I haven't checked the whole thing out, so that's why I threw it in and caught my eye, because I didn't have a chance to really play with it at any rate. So the procrastination flowchart. I did one of these about 10 years ago. It's cool to see if somebody's actually doing it again. So it's just a little business thing you could probably hang up on your wall there. And then, of course, the Space Invaders alarm clock. This is like the ultimate geek gift. And I think I might just get one for myself. Of course, if you want to get one for me, you're more than welcome to. But that's pretty much it. That's what I got for news. I know there's a lot more out there, but that's what I got here. So, and like I said, I would, at this point, I'd probably do emails and voicemails, but with all the confusion and everything, we didn't get a chance to really get any. So this is where I leave you. And I thank you. Thank you for listening on this Black Friday. I know you're out shopping. You might be out shopping. You might be listening to this podcast. You might come home and you might be listening to this podcast. I'm glad you went through the whole thing with me. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. If you like what I did, you can go over to geekazine.com, geekazine.com. I do a show on Wednesday. I do a video pod on Thursday. Of course, today, this Thursday, I didn't do a video, a podcast, so, but check it out. Of course, come back to Geek News Central to get all your shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and Todd will be back from Makakilo, the observing eye. I like that. Good job, Todd. Getting the right location is key to doing all this stuff, so, and of course, there's a whole ton of resource out there, especially if you want to do your own podcasting. Check it out. You can catch this show on the Blueberry Network. You can catch this show on Tech Podcast. You can catch this show on iTunes. If you're not liking how iTunes loads stuff, you can switch over to another program. Not to say that iTunes does a bad job. I listen to everything on iTunes, including this show. So, but there's other ways to get podcast information. You can check it out and go from there. So I hope you had a great time. I enjoyed my time, taking the time to show you what I think is important in this world and what I think is important to geeks. And so I thank you, and I'll stop babbling again. Todd should be back, I believe, Tuesday, unless he's got another guest. Like I said, I haven't heard. So in the meantime, this is the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Jeffrey Powers from geekazine.com. You guys have a great, great Thanksgiving evening. If you're listening to this on Thanksgiving evening or Friday, have a great Black Friday. I hope you get all the gifts that you need for these people, for the people in your life. And I hope you have a great and safe holiday season. Thank you. And in the words of Todd, aloha.